is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thank you for being here today. A candidate interview. Last week, you may have heard her announcement on Lars Larson's program. Bridget Barton, now running for governor, and she joins us. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm real excited to talk to everyone there.
Well, first,
and give you some insight into my campaign. I'm very excited to be running for governor of Oregon this cycle. We are in an absolute crisis in this state. We've been on this downward decline for the past 40 years, and we've watched our government agencies and bureaucracies just crumbling. And in the last 10 years, I think the public is realizing this is spiraling out of control on some very key issues. So homelessness, crime, wildfires, and education, just to name a few, things are just spiraling out of control. And people are literally fearful about the direction of the state. They're wondering, what can we do? How do we stop this downward spiral? And I'm stepping forward because I come in as an outsider, but I have a lot of background in public policy work, and I've been an editor and publisher of a conservative magazine for the past, well, basically 30 years, looking at these issues, networking with people around the state and some iconic businesses and creators and builders, and so I understand the issues, but I bring an outsider's perspective. And my reputation is I'm a thoughtful conservative, but I'm someone who's never been afraid to take on difficult challenges. One of them, as you can imagine, is running a conservative magazine in this state. That's not an easy thing. A lot of people said that was pretty risky to step into. Another area is since 1991, I've been fighting for school reform. I helped to bring the whole concept of charter schools into Oregon and get those launched in the state. So I'm not afraid of tough issues, and I'm running not because I want to get the job, but because I really want to do the job. I want to be a voice for forgotten blue-collar workers, for rural communities, for parents out there who are desperately worried about their kids' education. I'm ready to lead, and I'm ready to do the hard things.
Before we get into some of the other issues, tell folks more about yourself, maybe your background, other things you've done, and also about how you got involved in Oregon politics.
Okay. Well, I mentioned the fact that I have been working on school reform for a number of years, and that started when I began working as a freelance writer, and that mushroomed into a whole interest in all of the public policy issues affecting Oregon. So my partner and I started Brainstorm Northwest magazine, and that was a magazine that focused on public policy issues and politics around the state, and we covered a lot of interesting areas that we covered. Timber resources, we covered education, we covered tax policy, you name it. We did all that work, and we then morphed that magazine back in 2009 into an online newsletter that's called the Oregon Transformation Newsletter, which still exists today, and we're very proud of the work we do through that. But going back a little further, I was born in Wisconsin, raised in Williamsburg, Virginia, which tells you a little bit about why I am a big believer in the Constitution, because I was sort of raised in that cradle of the Revolution, Williamsburg, Virginia. But I've been here in Oregon for 43 years now. We've raised our family here. And one of the things people should know about me, I think that has a lot of bearing on the homeless issues and some others, is I've talked about this in my video, is as a 14-year-old, I started drinking. And by the time I was 28, when I stopped drinking, I was a chronic alcoholic. I was right on the verge of homelessness myself back then. And like a lot of people that are probably on the streets right now, I thought about suicide. So I have a kind of a unique understanding of the hopelessness that these people feel. And the one thing I want to emphasize, while I have compassion and a deep understanding of it, what we are doing right now with the homeless is not compassion. It's enabling, pure and simple. We are enabling people on the streets to commit slow suicide. I have no tolerance for that approach to the homeless. And while I would never turn my back on them in terms of trying to everything in my power to provide treatment resources, we need to get these people off the streets immediately. It is not compassionate to allow them to die on the streets like feral cats and dogs. This is just unconscionable how we've been handling this for the past 30 years. And we've poured $1 billion into a hopeless approach of trying to provide housing first. So the public, you know, I think is very, very compassionate about this. They want to see something done, and they are just at their wit's end at this point, because this problem basically started in Portland and it has leaked out all over the state. And our legislators, our Democratic leaders, have done nothing but continue to sort of push the problem out into other cities and communities all over the state, making it impossible for people to deal with it.
What led to you deciding to run for governor?
What led me to running for governor is that the state is in this crisis, and it needs strong leadership. It needs someone who understands, and I have had great experience with the media, that understands how to deal with the media and approach this sort of thing, interviews, has been a solid conservative. So I have a strong written and digital record of being a thoughtful, solid conservative. But I bring new approaches to things, and that's what the state needs right now. It needs leadership. It needs someone who's not afraid to stand up to tough issues, and I'm willing to do that. So I don't bring a partisan record that can be attacked, but again, I'm willing to stand up and lead and to do hard things, and that's what's required right now. So I stepped in. I think I bring, a good perspective of, as I said, of rural issues. I understand the urban issues, but I'm willing to change. I'm willing to make change. And that's what I'm asking people to join me to do. And if I could, if people have not seen my introductory video, I'd like to direct them to my website, which is BridgetBartonForOregon.com. And on the opening page, you can click on the link to my intro video and get a chance to get to know me, because I realize I'm coming into this without elected experience. But I do bring the experience of 30 years in the policy arena and in, my work and my writing.
You mentioned the homeless issue. What are some of the other top issues the state's facing?
Well, I think education is really right at the top. When I got here 43 years ago, we were third best in the country. And now I think we're still sitting there at fifth from the bottom. And that, considering that we're spending $9.3 billion in this coming biennium on education, parents out there know. And they're just parents are beside themselves looking at what's being taught in the schools, how the schools are being managed, and they're thinking, where is the money going? We are not getting better results. We're getting worse results every year. And parents are very upset. I know about the curriculum. They're upset about the hours that their kids are being taught the basics in education. They're concerned that they're not getting appropriate civics and history education. And they have a reason to be, because our results are abominable. So that needs to go to the top. And to that point, I wanted to say, one of the first things that I'll be looking at, and I'll be looking hard at this position, we now do not we no longer elect the superintendent of public instruction. That person is now a political appointee. And so you can imagine that since that happened under John Kitzhaber, that position has been a political appointment. That will be one of the first appointments I make, and I'm encouraging that we work at this issue from the top and the bottom. So from the top, a new superintendent of public instruction that will then begin to look at everything that's happening in the curriculum and in the hours and so on. But from the bottom, I want to encourage parents and other people that are, interested taxpayers that are looking at how their school boards are being run, how their local schools are being run. Get involved. Go to board meetings. Run for school board. We need to get at this problem from the top and the bottom. I'll do my part. And I want parents to do theirs. And I know they're just dying to have a leader who will stand for them. And I will.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. Bridget Barton with us. More when we come back. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4. David Littlejohn will have True Wealth on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program. Pat Stripp, District Manager of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, will talk about the current fire danger situation in the region and what might be in the offing in terms of fire restrictions and just where we stand. Bridget Barton, candidate for governor as a Republican, joining us this afternoon. What about the state financial condition? How do you think Oregon's finances are doing right now?
That's an interesting point, because actually Oregon's financial condition is good in terms of government revenues coming in. The problem is that the revenues that are coming in are being spent on ever larger, ever more dysfunctional government bureaucracies. So we don't have a problem with the amount of money coming in. In fact, one of my big concerns is with the federal money coming through the American Rescue Plan, we're getting an additional $2.6 billion added to the state coffers. And it is so important that that money not be spent to build more bureaucracy that then once the money's gone will require tax increases to sustain, which is exactly how the Democrats would handle it. So it isn't so much that the revenues are low. In fact, they're quite good. We got much more money in this budget cycle coming in than the legislature thought we would. It's how the money is being spent and whether it's filtering down to the people, whether it's filtering into the classrooms for the kids, whether it's coming into your county, for example, to help fight wildfires. It's how the money's spent, not whether we have it. I'm not worried that we have the money we need. I'm very concerned with how it's being spent. Let's talk about wildfires just for a second, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
In this last legislature, they did set aside $190 million for wildfires, quote unquote, but not enough of that is being spent to thin and log and salvage. It's all these sort of committee plans about how to go about things. And I think people in your community, but people all over the state at this point are very, very fearful about the wildfires breaking out everywhere. And it's absolutely absurd to blame this entirely on climate change. We have not thinned, logged, and salvaged our forests in any reasonable way, and we allow fires to burn on federal land. 70% of the forest land that burned this past year was on federally owned forests. And then, of course, the fires move out onto the private lands, and they completely get out of control. The forest management will be different on my watch. We will do more thinning. We will do more salvaging. We will put fires out, even if they are on federal land.
How would you evaluate the current governor? Now, she's not eligible to run again, of course, but talk about your thoughts on her work in the past few years and the work of the legislature.
Let's start with the governor. I think that the public approval ratings of her, which are down in the low 30s, are probably appropriate for her performance. I do think that she has been faced with one crisis after another, very, very difficult crises, and she was not up to the task. It's about as simple as that. And, you know, you can be propped up into office as the next person on the Democrat bench, but when you're faced with major crises like this, you need leadership. You need someone like me who is not afraid of really tough, difficult challenges, has dealt with them, has actually taken them on. And in Kate Brown's case, I think she was never prepared for this sort of work and has the state is failing under her watch. As far as the legislature, well, I think a supermajority is in both houses of the legislature is a real problem for everyone. And it creates this imbalance and an inability to deal successfully with almost anything, let alone the kind of crises the state has coming its way. So I think I would give the legislature, and I'm talking about the Democrat supermajorities here, I would give them an F for the last couple of cycles. And honestly, I think the Republicans have done a pretty darn good job of doing what they could to face up to these overwhelming odds.
As someone who's been more behind the scenes, how do you switch roles to the leadership side as the top elected official in the state?
Well, you know, I think even though I have been behind the scenes in the sense of I have been in partisan office, I have been in leadership roles in the sense that I've been leading the way on some education reform issues. I have started and run my own business, and that has not been an easy task running a conservative media outlet for 30 years in this state. And as I said, I just have faced tough challenges, and I'm known for being thoughtful and for being a solid conservative, but I'm also known in my communities as being a leader, an opinion leader, an issue leader, and just someone who's a pretty tough cookie. So I hope I have the courage for change, and I hope that people will join me and also have the courage for change. Whether they're Republican, independent, non-affiliate, whatever, they're Democrat. If you see the condition that our state is in and you realize that we must make a change, we just must. I'm stepping into the role because I have the courage to do it. I'm not looking for a long-term career in politics. I think that's the kind of person we need right now. I'm 68 years old. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I'm not looking to get the job. I'm looking to do the job and get the job done for Oregonians to make some serious changes. And so I hope people will join me in that effort.
Now, Oregon's GOP has not held the governor's office since Vic Atieh, which ended in the 80s. Why do you think you can pull this off and be victorious?
Well, we're in a perfect storm, as they say, the perfect cycle, for one thing. And that is in a midterm president is very unpopular, and we have a very inept, unpopular governor at this point. But much more important than that are the issues that we face. These wildfires, education, homelessness, crime rising out of control, these are not partisan issues. And I will not approach them in any way except to solve them and get them under control and get the state back on track. So I do think that the public clearly sees that the state's in crisis. They clearly see that we've been in this downward spiral. And I think they're ready for a leader that will just step forward and offer courageous change for the state. So, again, the good news is most of these serious issues, they really aren't partisan. They're about all Oregonians. They affect everyone. If you have homeless people and parked in front of your business or you know, struggling in the streets of your city, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. We need those problems solved. And we can see that for the past 40 years, the Democrats have not solved them. It's time for change.
Out of time for now, Bridget Barton, candidate for governor. Give folks your website before we go.
BridgetBartonForOregon.com. And please join me in change and get the courage for change and donate if you possibly can. Thank you.
Bridget Barton, thanks for being on with us this afternoon. 1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.